Grace and peace to you in the name and spirit of Christ. This is Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. I'm Lorraine Finneson. We offer to you a heartfelt and unconditional welcome to our service, whether you are here in person or are watching on Facebook Live. Since I'm doing the announcements this morning, you know that Pastor Mark is away. He and Deanne are currently in Seattle, Washington, having flown there yesterday morning from Raleigh, North Carolina. They will be back in Michigan next Friday. In Pastor Mark's absence, Reverend Art Ritter will preach and lead today's service. We are rather old friends with Reverend Art by now, and he will be telling us more today about the upcoming Christian education series he will be leading during after-church coffee hour. Reverend Art spent many years as a pastor of four congregational churches, most recently 13 and a half years at Meadowbrook Congregational in Novi before his retirement about 3 years ago. Reverend Art is currently the moderator of the NACCC. Welcome back to Mayflower, Reverend Art. Today's liturgist is Betty Briggs, and Barb Fuller is subbing for Deanne at the piano and is also directing the Finneson Family and Friends Handbell Ensemble. I welcome all of these current and former Capital City Ringers, including Kim's daughters, Lindsay and Andrea, and the Capital City Ringers founder and longtime director and current ringer, Jane Wright. In solidarity with the people of Hawaii who have been affected by the recent fires and devastation, we are wearing sort of Hawaiian shirts today, and we are encouraging you to join with us as we take donations for the people of Hawaii. They will be going to the NA's One Great Hour of Sharing project so that they can be sent on to other organizations who are on the ground there working. During the month of September, we will start collecting items for the South Lansing Ministries. We'll also be taking monetary donations for the Crop Walk. You'll be hearing more about those things. And you can read more about those projects in your September newsletter, which I'm passing out today, and also be in upcoming bulletins. Let us now be in the spirit of worship. Thank you.
Good morning, Mayflower.
Good morning.
It is with joy that we welcome you to our service today. We also welcome Reverend Art Ritter into the pulpit in Pastor Mark's absence. Reverend Art continues the tradition here at Mayflower by using the lectionary. Today's worship theme is based on two questions Jesus asked his disciples, both concerning who Jesus is thought to be. There are many questions asked by Jesus in the gospel accounts, and as a result, as followers of Christ, we live those questions in the space between the asking and the answering. We trust that the music, scripture, prayers, and the spoken word offered in our worship today will help us to live so that the question of who Jesus is can be answered by our actions more than our words. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God and our loving Lord, we have responded to your gentle call to gather as your beloved community. We have come with an eagerness to learn, discover, think, and respond to your call upon our lives. Give us new insight and fresh inspiration as we sing, listen, pray, and then respond to what we experience in worship. As we contemplate the questions you ask, give us the courage and fortitude to live confidently as we strive to reflect the spirit, attitude, care, and compassion Christ has shown in his life of sacrifice and service. Bless those who speak and those who share their gifts and talents of musical expression. This we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Thank you very much. That's beautiful. We give in response to our gratitude to God. We give acknowledging all that we receive is a gift from our Creator. We give in worship, honoring the source of each blessing. We give as God's people in Christ's name. At this time, let us dedicate our offerings to this church in ministry and service to Jesus Christ and to God, our Creator. Let us join together in prayer. Most gracious God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus the Christ, who came to us and taught and healed and pointed out to his disciples who they could be through acting out who he was. Today we pray that Jesus the Christ might be clear to each and every one of us, present in our daily walks, encouraging us, lifting us, challenging us, forgiving us, strengthening us to know that we can be the presence of Christ to those around us each and every day. On this day, we remember in prayer the concerns of our world, the concerns of our own lives, and the concerns of those around us. We pray today for those with questions of health, those who are facing times of testing and treatment and surgery. We pray for your healing hand. We pray for those who have suffered a loss, those who remember a loss. We pray for families approaching new and different schedules of fall, for students entering a new school year, for teachers and administrators, and bus drivers and paraprofessionals. We pray your blessing upon them for a safe and fruitful school year. We pray for this church, Mayflower Congregational Church, and for its ministry and its members. We pray for Mark and Deanne on their time away for refreshment and rest. We lift up to you, O God, the people of Maui, all those in Hawaii who have suffered the destruction of fire, the loss of life, the loss of homes and shelters. We pray for storm victims throughout Michigan, those who are without power even now, those who lost much. We pray for peace in our world. We pray for the victims of war and violence around our planet, in Ukraine, in Syria, and in Africa. We ask, O God, that your spirit of wisdom be upon our leaders and leaders throughout our world, that they may seek policies and actions that point toward peace. As we pray, O God, we remember those in our circles and those around our world. And at this time, we offer the first names of those who we remember in prayer. Oh God, we know that you hear each name, that you know each prayer even before the words are spoken. In that confidence, we come to you. And in the name of Jesus, we pray together the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's gospel reading is Matthew 16, verses 13 to 20. Note that Caesarea Philippi is an ancient Roman city. Hear now these words. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Thanks be to God.
It is indeed an honor and always a pleasure to be here worshiping with you. And I look forward to the weeks and months ahead in which I will be teaching some classes following your fellowship hour. And today, at the conclusion of your fellowship hour, I'll be talking a bit about some of those classes that I have in mind and offering a chance for you to give me some input. So I'll do more about that later. We'll stick to the sermon now. But I am glad to be here. One of the things I like to do each and every morning if I have time is to check my Facebook memories to see what I was doing on that date a year ago, 5 years ago, 12 years ago. I think it goes back to like 16 years ago for me now. A year ago today, I said I was looking forward to preaching at Mayflower Congregational Church the next day. So, I also noticed something that happened to me in 2014. I said that I got the Secretary of State's office to admit that they made a mistake. I don't remember what that was all about. It was something to do with my driver's license, but I don't recall. But that was a great accomplishment, getting the Secretary of State's office to admit a mistake. I read a story, somewhat strange, one of those stories that usually comes out of the state of Florida. But this one actually occurred in Tennessee. And it was a story of mistaken identity, a very conspicuous case of mistaken identity. A woman named Jade Dodd had gone to the Department of Motor Vehicles in Tennessee to renew her driver's license, and they made a mistake. She filled out all the paperwork, she took her exam, she paid her fee, she had her picture taken, and a few days later, her new license arrived. The identification photo in the lower right-hand side of her license had a picture of an empty chair. Jade Dodd wasn't there, just an empty chair. Well, she called the state DMV to report the strange photo, but they did not believe her. So she took the license into the local office and showed them that the photo of her was actually a photo of an empty chair. The Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security told CNN that they believe the error happened when a photo of the empty chair was the last photo taken the day before they put the camera away. And somehow that last image of the previous day was placed on file as the photograph of Jade Dodd. Well, Dodd's friends and coworkers were finding some humor in it all. They were sending her photos of empty chairs, asking her if perhaps these chairs happened to be her relative. People always find some humor. Well, questions of identity are part of our journeys of life. As little children, we might ask, why is the sky blue? But we might also say, well, who am I? Why am I here? Who made me? Those are questions for the young. There's an old practice for some people in their teens and early 20s to take a year off from life, a year off from school or work, and to go try to find themselves, asking questions about their identity. Sadly, as we grow older, our questions about identity might get smaller or at least shallower. We tend to find our identity in the pursuit of more tangible, material things. We might ask, how much more money do I need before I can retire? How much more things do I have to get in my life before I'm happy? When will I get my promotion? When will I get that raise I deserve? When will he ever get to the point of this sermon? A friend of mine, Sean Stapleton, shared a delightful post on Facebook, and I remembered this. I'm a recent first-time grandfather, and Sean is also a recent first-time grandfather. So when he posted this, I kind of kept it in mind for the day in which my grandson Arlo was born. Sean posted this on the first day of being a grandfather. I remembered when I graduated high school, I was pretty sure I knew who I was. Then I graduated college, and I was pretty sure who I was and I wasn't who I was before. And then I became a dad. I floated on air. I was sure I knew who I was, and it wasn't who I was before. And then I worked and became jaded by the world around me. I became somewhat different again. Every win, every loss reshaped me. I've tried to live in such a way that I grew from them. I always figured there was a lesson or purpose in life. Today, I'm a grandfather. And I think all the lessons have led me to this place. I was pretty sure I knew who I was before, but I had no idea. This is who I am, a grandpa. I love this little girl. We giggle and drool and study the world, and we try to use our hands and smell smells and see pretty sights and hear pretty sounds together. And all the while, I feel like I am my best, which is the best gift anyone has ever given to me. I thank God for my little granddaughter. In the lesson we heard today, Jesus asked his followers a really tough question about their identity. The scene is strategically placed by the author of the Gospel of Matthew. It follows Jesus' acceptance of this Canaanite woman at the table, the removal of boundaries that would limit God's grace and mercy to anyone. And it also follows Jesus' help in feeding a crowd of 4,000 people when the disciples said they didn't have enough resources and were not able to do it on their own. The reading today occurs in the district of Caesarea Philippi, the heart of secular power in that region of the world. The Roman governor, the Roman army were based in Caesarea Philippi. It was the place you had to be if you wanted to be powerful and influential. It was a place of real identity in that part of the world. And Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Well, the answers were obvious. John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Then Jesus said, "But who do you say that I am?" And the room suddenly got very quiet. You see, this was a much more difficult question for them to answer. Peter spoke up saying, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him saying, "You are the rock, the basis of my church. I will give you the keys to the kingdom, and you are to be able to bind and loose and pronounce the forgiveness of sins." I always thought it was interesting that this lesson begins with Jesus asking a question about who people thought he was. And then the lesson ends with Jesus telling Peter who Peter is. And it's then when Peter understands who Jesus really is that Jesus is able to tell Peter what Peter should be all about. The moment Peter begins to see the identity of Jesus is the moment when Peter understands who he is and begins to feel empowered to do the work of Christ. Jesus moves Peter quickly from a confession of faith to a vocational assignment. "Upon you I will build my church." Peter's identity is matched with his perception of who Jesus is. Recognizing God's presence in Jesus, Peter was then called to live as the presence of Christ in the world. Author and preacher William Willimon writes about a professor friend who grew up in the church, but soon after college and graduation moved away from faith. And he was disillusioned with the church's failure back then to respond to the civil rights movement, and he became, in his own words, sort of a Christian, one who didn't participate in Christianity but believed, but didn't do. Well, the professor became an expert in East-West business relations, and in the 1980s, he had a conversation with an official from the then Soviet Union. And she asked him, "So you're a Christian. I'm an atheist. Tell me, what difference does your belief in God make in the way you vote, the way you spend your money? Tell me, when was the last time you did something because you stopped and asked yourself, what does God want me to do in this case?" The professor was taken aback. He said, "I realized that though I believed like I was a believer, I lived like I was an atheist." It was a stunning moment of recognition that brought him to embrace a more living and meaningful Christian faith. "Who do you say that I am?" Jesus asks. That's the question of faith. That's the reality of our own identity before the eyes of God. How do we answer that question? Who are we? How do we say who Jesus is for us in words and actions? Rick Warren once said, "Christians are like tea bags. You don't know what's inside until you put them in hot water."
Who do you say Jesus is? Do you offer canned, feel-good, sentimental answers? Do you offer quotes from the Bible that are black and white? You see, the answer is never academic. It's always more abstract. It's always in context. And that's what makes it so hard to answer the question. Who is Jesus when conspiracies and untruths are the order of our day? When we easily speak things as truth, opinions we've heard on the news, or when we generously click and share social media posts and anecdotes that make us feel better, make us feel right? Who is Jesus when our neighbor is hungry, when many in our community can't afford health care or must struggle for a wage that can't support their families? Who is Jesus when we're faced with decisions that have no easy answers, when the night is dark, the storms are overwhelming, when being faithful means we have to risk and we have to take a stand that makes us stand out? Who is Jesus when we are given news we don't want to hear, when things in our life seem to be falling apart? 14th century German theologian Meister Eckhart said, "We're all mothers of God, for God is always waiting to be born in each of us." In God we find our identity, and in our actions God is given identity in our world. There are moments in which we understand who Jesus is and what he's calling us to be, and in those moments things can shift dramatically. We can see things differently. We can find a new identity in ourselves. It's not enough for us to just confess Jesus as Lord and Messiah. The acknowledgement has to be practiced. We must live out understanding of Jesus' identity and understanding our God-given identity in our relationships, with our bank accounts, with our time and energy, with our ballots, and with our choices in life. Do we believe just because the church believes? Or do we believe what Jesus believed about us? In our answer lies our true identity. Who is Jesus for us? The world is watching for our answers. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the teachings of Jesus, the words of challenge that he offered to his disciples and speaks yet to us today. Help us to look, to search, to seek, to discover who he is for us even this day. Help us to proclaim Jesus' true identity, your love, your grace, your mercy, through our own actions of love and grace and mercy. May others look at us and find the answer to the question of who he is this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And now the service has ended. We go forth asking the question that Jesus offered to his disciples: who do you say that I am? In our words, our actions, our choices, our lifestyles, let us choose the presence of God through Jesus the Christ in each and everything. God be with us. Amen.